This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
Jesus walked out of the house in Matthew chapter 13. It says he walks out of the house, most likely in Capernaum. And we actually know where that house was. We have a picture of the house. I put the verse in your notes in Matthew 13, 1 and 2. But most likely he walked out of this house in Capernaum, which is right by the Sea of Galilee. Most likely this was one of these areas, one of these rooms is where our Lord spent the night that night. I've stood right here, and this is the complex there, the synagogue at Capernaum. This is the shore, right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And so most likely he went out to one of the sides of the city, and it says that he sat down probably early in the morning, and as was his custom. His custom was to walk out and to pray and before all the crowds got there, but then eventually the crowds came. And I think we have another picture of the seaside to show you that when you start to get pressed, it's very rocky along the coast of the Sea of Galilee, on this side of the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus would have been on these rocks. As more and more people came, it would have just been easier to get into the water. And so he got into a boat. And using the kind of the natural acoustic, the acoustic nature of the waves and the rocks and then the incline of the shore, he would have began to speak. Now, Luke and Mark tell us that there were so many people there that they pressed upon him. And then it says this interesting little tidbit that there were people that came out of every city. Was this every city in Israel? Was this every city in Galilee? We're not sure, but there's people from every city and they want to be healed. They're pressing him to get virtue out of him, as we know was the case. And he chooses to speak to them about seed. He chooses to speak to them about not just seed, but a sower that sows the seed. And then he says the sower and the seed aren't as important as the soil. So it's not a parable of a sower or a parable of a seed. It's really the parable of a soil. And he really showcases two different types of soil here. And you have to bear with me because I got really excited when I started studying for this and when I realized that one of the passages that talked about being rock solid, we're going to finish this up, and I started, you know, really diving into this. I grew up in Iowa. Many of you don't know that. I grew up in Iowa, and I grew up working on a farm and gardening, and so when we're in LA County, we're not really in an agriculture culture per se, but man, I grew up, and I started recognizing some of the terms that Jesus was saying, and so I'm going to hopefully give you a little bit of a gardening lesson this morning, as well as a lesson from this scripture. What's the point of what we just read? The point is the reception matters. The reception of the seed matters. And so Jesus is talking about the fact that it matters for the soul, for the heart. And I want to put up a little bit of a graphic to show you exactly what this parable is breaking down with the different the sower, the rock, or the sower, the seed, and the soil. The sower is the source of truth. Whatever the source of truth is, whether it's in the morning with your quiet time, whether it's right now, whether I'm the sower where I'm sowing the seed, whether it's a friend who comes alongside of you and says, "Man, I want to give you this truth. This truth is a help to me. I want to help you with this." And so the sower is always the source of truth. The seed is the truth, and the soil is the heart, our soul. And so truth at some point needs to make it from the sower, from our mind, from our ears, then to our heart, to our soul. And so today we're going to talk about the one thing that needs to be soft, not rock solid, and that's our heart. But we're going to talk about this rock solid obedience, these rock solid patterns of harvest, these rock solid patterns of receiving fruit in our lives, and how these truths are absolutely unshakable. And in the last few weeks, we've talked about some things that have been shakable, some things that change with the winds of time and the winds of culture. But these truths do not change. These truths stand sure. And so we're talking about our hearts. Now, there's two types of fruit and harvest that we all want to reap. And whether you believe in God or whether that you're just brand new to church or whether this is just kind of a journey for you, you're just kind of trying to figure some things out, everyone in here desires to have these two types of fruit. The first one is earthly fruit, earthly results. You want to see results, okay? You go to the gym not just because you don't want to see, you want to see results, you know, and then you want to tell people about your results. You know, I'm going to the gym and yeah, I'm seeing results. You know, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm seeing some things changing, right? So we want to see results. Everything we do, we shine our car. We want to see results with our car. We train our kids. We want to see results with our kids. And so we always want to have the fruit of obedience. We always want to have the earthly fruit. But there's something that is talked about in Galatians, and I want you to see this, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, and we've studied this in small group before, but it says the fruit of the Spirit, so the result of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Then it says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, meaning there's something that has to die. There's something that has to be removed in order for the fruit, for the result to come. He says, if that happens, if we live in the Spirit, if we sow to the Spirit, if we're obeying the Spirit, then when we walk in the Spirit, then we'll receive the results, the fruit of the Spirit. And so those are earthly things. The joy that we feel, the peace that we feel, the love that we feel, okay, is all based on sowing to the Spirit. Those are earthly fruits. But I want to tell you a little bit about eternal fruits, because Jesus here is not just talking about receiving earthly results from our obedience. He's not just talking about receiving earthly things, things that will help your marriage, things that will help your family. He's not just speaking literally, he is here, but he's also talking about some heavenly fruit, some eternal fruit that's going to be coming. And we know this because in John chapter 15 and verse number 7, Jesus speaks about the fruit, bearing much fruit. And he says, if you abide in me and my words in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you are my disciples. So he said, when you follow my instructions, that's what a disciple is, a follower, a learner. When you follow my instructions, you're going to bear much fruit. There's going to be much result. And he talked about that result, not just being on earth, but it's being eternal. So the fruit that you're going to bear is not something that will just that'll just fade away. You know, our fruit lasts for about a week, if you're lucky. Okay, if you shop at Costco, okay? Now, if you go to the farmer's market, you probably got to eat that the same day, right? You know, all the department stores, you know, they spray those chemicals, so they last longer. I don't know if that's true. I just heard that once. But the point is, you know, eternal fruit, it'll last. And so we must obey in order to have fruit. Now, if you missed the message last week or you missed small group on Wednesday, let me encourage you to go back and listen to the message last week, because I have to just give you a little bit of a disclaimer here. We do not obey for favor. We obey for fruit. The reason why that's so important is because religion tells you that if you obey, if you're really good, okay, then you'll have the favor of God. And if you're not good, then you cannot have the favor of God. And the people who are really good have more of God's love than the people who don't. And the reality is, positionally, when we receive Christ's gift of eternal life and salvation, we have all the acceptance that he is willing to give us all at once. Okay, there's nothing that we have done to earn his acceptance or his favor. And so we do not obey for favor in the sense positionally. We obey for fruit. And that's very important to understand. Now, he prunes, and we'll talk about how he'll guide and direct you based on that, but you never lose the positional acceptance of Jesus Christ. Once he has made you his child, he will always love you, and he will never disown you. It's very important to understand. But in this passage, there are two types of soil, two types of souls, two types of hearts that are displayed, an obedient heart and a disobedient heart. In the next few minutes, I want to go over this, okay? So number one, I want to talk about the progression of a disobedient heart. What's the progression? How does this happen? Like, how do you get to a point where your heart is so hard that the seed can't break through, that the seed can't penetrate and then grow fruit? And a disobedient heart doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. There's a progression. And the progression that I have to ask you, if it's happening in your heart and in your life, is, are you, or have you, or have I become comfortable? Have we become comfortable with neglecting the truth? That's letter A. Have we become comfortable with just kind of neglecting, kind of pushing aside the truth? When you hear something that confronts a lie in your life, and we've talked about lots of different lies in this series, and when we, even today, confront some lies, and when you're confronted with something that you are doing in your life or that you are thinking in your heart, and you're confronted with that truth, a choice has to be made. And that choice is, will I accept this? And will I use this? Or will I dismiss this? Or will I push this aside just for the moment being so I don't feel uncomfortable? Or so I don't have to say something to someone that makes it a little bit awkward? And so we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to accept the seed, the truth? And if we're not, okay, then what happens is every time we kind of delay, every time that we're in denial, where we wait, well, I'll do that tomorrow, it starts to compact the soil of our heart. And the more that you delay your action for God, and the more that you hear the truth and you do nothing with it, and the more that you just resist, even if it's subconscious, it slowly compacts your heart. And your heart is not hardened overnight. It takes moments of saying no to God, of not surrendering to God. And over time, when you start to have these moments of denial and moments of dishonesty and moments of a lack of surrender, truly disobedience, over time, Jesus said that it becomes very compact. It becomes very hardened. It is not sometimes even willful. It is always neglect. It is when you're protecting a lie more than you're accepting the truth. It is when you're trying to, make your life fit and make the truth kind of wrap around your life and your lifestyle and your thinking. That's what I do. And so when we try to wrap our experience and everything, we try to wrap the truth around our feelings and try to wrap the truth around our past and try to make the truth what we want it to be, what we're doing is we're compacting our heart to not allow the truth any leeway or any entrance into our heart. And so you get to this point, I'm going to be really dirty by the time this is over. You get to a point where the soil is hard, it's flat as a pancake. There's no room for anything to get in. It's so compact, so compressed. It's so used to neglecting the truth, so comfortable with neglecting what the truth says. So Jesus says, it's like the wayside. It's like the wayside where everyone walks. I think we have a hillside in Galilee where there's some fields planted, and this would have been very much like what Jesus was describing, a hillside with the Sea of Galilee in the background. And this is perfect. You see the fields, they were planted just in areas where the soil was A, accessible, and B, it looked somewhat fertile. But then as people crisscrossed the different areas, they would cut through the fields, but they would see this path right here. They would cut through the fields. And the pathway where people had walked was very hard. It was very compressed. Nothing would grow there. And so no matter how much seed, if I were to come over here, I have some cilantro seeds. We're going to grow some cilantro this morning. And so if I were to take this compressed dirt and I was just to sprinkle some of these cilantro seeds on the top, they just sit on the top. It's unprotected. It's not accepted into the soil. And so what Jesus was saying, when you're not willing to accept it, when you're not really willing to take the truth, the seed, and you're not willing to accept it right away, then what happens is, on the back of this seed, it has an expiration date. Seeds don't last forever. And so when we neglect the truth and it sits on the tops of our minds and out, we try to push it off to the side, it's right out in the open. It doesn't last long. You have a moment when you hear the truth. We all have a moment when we hear the truth. Are we going to accept it? Or are we going to neglect it? Two things happen. Number one, it just sits on the soil. Number two, it's vulnerable to the devil coming along and saying, yeah, you didn't need that. Oh. And what he does is he starts to try to get you to doubt either the sower or the seed. So he says, well, that guy's just, that's what he's supposed to say. Of course he's going to say that. And lots of people come to church and they make it all about the sower. And they try to dismiss it because of the sower. And I've done this. I've looked at someone, I'm like, really? I'm going to listen to that guy? That's probably what some of you were saying in your head today about me. That's okay. Because the devil tries to get you to say that there's something wrong with the sower. If he can discredit the sower, or if he can discredit where the seed came from, or how the seed is packaged, or something about the seed. And the reality is, if you're never accepting anything, nothing's ever going to grow. And so we have to come to a point where our hearts are not hardened by the neglect of truth. Now, I watched as a young 6 to 8-year-old boy, the ages of my boys, I watched as my grandfather, who was incredibly influential and an incredibly spiritually gifted man, started, I mean, if you put a category of all the things you would want to do, worked for Billy Graham, check, you know, translated part of the Bible, check, you know, started rescue missions, check, started Christian camps, check, started, you know, homeless shelters, check, started assisted living, free assisted living places for seniors, check. I mean, literally he did everything, helped stop the race riots in St. Paul, check. I mean, this man had done a lot of good. He had a lot of fruit to show that God had worked and used him. But you know how I remember him? I remember him as a man who was consumed with his money. I remember him as a man who walked out on my grandmother when he was in his 60s for another woman. I remember him as a man that not that had a ton of fruit to show. I remember him as a man who truly at the end of his life thought that the fruit that he had was enough. And he started to harden. He started to harden his heart. He started to really kind of resent even the person he used to be. And yeah, he would buy us stuff, and we loved the toys and the candy and all the things he had because he had money at the later part of his life. But the man he was only a shell of the man he used to be. Because it doesn't matter how much fruit you have in the past. If you're not growing fruit right now, you're not healthy. No one is exempt from neglecting the truth. So we come this morning to get the truth. We come this morning to accept the truth. And I remember sitting in a waiting room, and I remember the surgeon coming in, and we learned that my grandfather, after a heart attack, had passed away. And I remember my dad weeping, and I remember all of the family. We had a very big family. My dad's side is a very large family. I remember everyone just crying. And of course, I'm a little kid. I didn't really get the severity of that, but I'll never forget something the surgeon said. He said, "We tried to revive him, but his heart was like stone." Those words rang in my head, even into my teenage years. His heart was like stone. Of course, the surgeon was talking about his physical heart. But you know what I thought in my 7-year-old mind? It wasn't just his physical heart that was hard. His spiritual heart was also hard as stone. So many Christians slowly push away the truth until their spiritual soul is hard as stone. So do we have a disobedient heart? Well, how comfortable are you with neglecting the truth? Number two, is your soul focused more on the surface or on the source? Jesus says, are you focused on the surface of what's happening? Or are you really wanting to dig down and have some spiritual growth? And so I ask you that question as Jesus was posing this parallel, and he said there's a second type of soil, and he said it's still disobedient, but he said it looks very obedient. But he said deep underneath the soil, deep underneath that soil, he said is a stone, is a rock. And he said you can't see it. In fact, it's covered. It's covered with what looks like very rich soil. What looks like soil that could grow something. Looks like soil that dresses properly and maybe talks right and looks very, very good on the surface. But little does anyone know, including maybe even the person that's trying to have results or see something happen in their life, maybe a habit broken, maybe a marriage mended, maybe a parenting problem fixed. Little does this person know that underneath the surface, there's something. I don't know if it's something in the past. Maybe it's something that you can't agree with about God. Maybe it's not something that you believe. Maybe it's some pattern of behavior. I don't know what it is. But there's something. Unwilling to be kind of dug up and dealt with under the surface. And Jesus said that there are those who, man, they just shoot up with growth. And man, it's right there. But if I were to put this outside just like this, put this rosemary plant, this herb outside right on top of the soil, and even if I dug it down a little bit and put it here, there's enough of the root system, and it would probably start to try to grow around the rock, but this rosemary plant's going to die. Even if we put the seed, the cilantro seed, right on top, and we grab some of these seeds and we place them right on top, we put the soil a little bit there and we just put some of these seeds right on top of that rock. There's soil for them to kind of start get down into. They might grow for a little bit. There might be some results for a few weeks, for a few months, maybe even for a few years, but Jesus said it's not going to last. Because it's only on the surface. It's not going to last because all of the growth was produced for everyone to see. Everything that has been done has been grown above the surface. Nothing has been grown below. There's no root system. There's nothing supporting the growth. There's no truth that's supporting. It's all built on a facade. This is why many people don't come to church. Because they look around and they see everyone and they're like, man, that everything looks great. But then they see them kind of under the surface. They take a peek under the surface and man, it's hard as a rock. Hard as a rock. Listen, all of us, including myself, have these things inside of our hearts that are very stony. You know, the rabbis, I was reading a few of them, they joke that when God dumped the rocks on earth, he dumped 90% of them in Israel. Let me show you some of the actual fields in Israel, some of the stony fields. I mean, this is what it looks like. I mean, try planting a crop in this field. Very difficult. Now, we can see this, but many times a farmer would go out and he would start to plow and he'd hit bedrock or he'd hit a rock and sometimes he was tempted. Sometimes he was tempted, like we're tempted, to just say, well, there's enough soil there. No one's ever going to know. And here's what would happen. They would sow the crop and the crop would come up. But then a few weeks or a few months after the crop was sown and it started to grow, there'd be one section of the crop where he didn't remove the stone. And it would be higher. It would be much higher than everything else. I mean, it would be growing very rapidly. But then as the summer came, as the heat and the pressure from the elements came, that entire section would wither and die. I love you. And I want you to understand this, but we cannot short-circuit God's way for our growth. We cannot come to church and hear good things and say we agree, but then our lives tell another story. We have to live the truth in the quiet moments of our lives, in the moments that no one sees. There has to be a depth to where it is who we are because we believe it and it's built on the rock solid truth of God's word. Bless you. And so Jesus said there's those that they sow, but they're stone under the surface. They shoot right up, but then they fade away. And so are we focused on the surface or the source? Let me talk to you about the source for growth. The source for growth is yes, God, grace, the Holy Spirit, but it is the truth of the Word of God. And let me just talk practically about the fact that sometimes we can be made for grace, made for truth, and yet we feel like just because we've heard the truth, we're good. The best way I know how to illustrate this is there's a growing trend in Europe, and it is that people will buy these electric cars, but they do not have the money or they do not even have the electricity possible to power these cars. So what they will do is they will take these electric cars like a Nissan Leaf or you know, Chevy Volt or what, you know, any of the electric cars, and they will carry around, and I think we have a video of a guy who this is a tutorial. There's lots of these. So they'll fire up these gas-powered generators. They keep them in the back of their cars. And then they get the little plug out. They plug it into the gas generator. And then they go and plug it into the front of their car. And that's exactly what is going on here. He's using gas to charge an electric car. Now, this is classic. There are even guys, okay, who have the stickers on the back, say no to gas. And I think we have a say no to gasoline, 100% electric, and he's using gas to charge his electric car. Now, the reason why I feel like this is such a great example is because we will agree with 100% of what I'm talking about today, and we will say, yes, there's joy when you're connected to Jesus, and there is peace when you are connected to Jesus and then someone does something and it's like, get my generator out because I'm going to town on them using gas-powered, flesh-powered words. I'm coming after you. You want to drive 50 in the HOV lane? I'm going to let you know. And we literally forget that, wait a second. That's not the fruit that we were made to produce. And so we listen and we learn and we say, yeah, that's good. And then everyone else looks at our lives and they tell a different story. The bumper sticker on the back of our car doesn't match what we're doing. The little, how's my driving? Call this number. You know? And when our lives don't match our lips, and when our lives don't match what we say we believe, there's a stone there. There's something blocking the growth. And then what happens is you start to try this out. You start to try a faith-filled life. You start to try a life of faithfulness and just surrendering to God. Okay, I'm gonna surrender everything to God, and everything's fine until there's pressure. Everything's fine until a trial. Everything's fine until the heat gets turned up. Listen, pressure in life should not remove your faith. It should just prove your faith. A trial should not make your faith weaker. It should make your faith stronger. And so what are you connected? Are you just connected because everyone else around you thinks you should be? Or are you willing to connect where no one will see, where everyone will look at you and say, not growing, but you know deep down in your heart, you're doing business with God. God is doing something in your life. There's some growth under the surface. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we focused more on the surface than we are on the source? We have to go to the source. We have to go to the source of the Word of God. And this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. He said this in verse number 2. He said, they've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And some of us need to renounce these inward sins. They're not outward sins, so we think, oh, it's not as bad. But they're inward sins. Dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, saying, you know, trying to be careful, trying to craft the right way so everyone thinks we are something that we're not. And handling the word deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, meaning, listen, there should be, all of us should have a moment where we say, there's a part of me that no one sees that I'm working on. We should be honest enough to say that. And so a disobedient heart can be outward or it can be inward, but Jesus said they're both wrong. They're both wrong to have a heart of disobedience or have a life of disobedience. Either way, we need to deal inwardly with the lack of growth and the lack of truth that we are inserting. Let me just ask you this. How much truth did you insert into your heart and your life, into the soil of your soul this week? Not me, not one time, you know, not just small group. Those are great times, but how many times did you cultivate the soil of your heart? How many times did you break up the hard parts of your heart? We have to do this every single day because the devil doesn't take a break, and he's stealing the seeds of Sunday morning, and he's stealing the seeds, and he's trying to get that rock of bitterness and that rock of resentment and that rock of fleshly living and that rock of unholy living and lust, and he's trying to get that to stay. God says, you want to know an obedient heart? Well, number two, let's look at the cultivation of an obedient heart. Because it takes a cultivation, it takes a tool that has greater strength and purpose to be able to dig under the surface, to get down where it's dirty, where it's messy, and to pull out that rock of bitterness, to pull out that rock of fleshly living, of greed. Jesus said greed blinds us. It burrows its way inside of our hearts and where we don't think we're greedy, but we are. And the U.S. is plagued with greed right now and discontent, ingratitude. And Jesus said you have to be willing to pull that out. through the power of God, and to then break up, to cultivate the soil, to break it up. And listen, if the devil can't get you to he can't stop you from cultivating and breaking up the soil, if he can't get you to do that, you know what he's going to do? If he can't get you to dismiss and delay and all that, you know what he's going to do? He's just going to distract you. So, their heart's getting soft. They're getting, okay, before there's growth, okay, I can't stop them from planting the seed of truth. So here's what I'm going to do. This is what the devil says. He says, I'm going to go ahead and plant my own seeds. You want to plant seeds? No problem. You want to plant the truth? Go ahead. You want to get them deep? Go deep. You want to study? You want to do discipleship? Do it. More the merrier. Devil says, if I can't stop you from doing that, no problem. I won't. Meanwhile, he's sowing little seeds of doubt, little seeds of fear. He's sowing his own crop. Here's what happens. We have to ask ourselves, will I remove the distractions? Letter A, will I remove the distractions? Because all of our hearts, they can be obedient. And delayed obedience is disobedience. But a lot of times we don't talk enough about the distractions. We don't talk enough about it. And so, yeah, what happens is we sow those cilantro seeds, and then it starts to grow. How many of you love some fresh cilantro? I'm going to make you hungry this morning. That's one of my goals, you know, just bust out some, you know, fresh from Vallarta, cilantro, okay? So here's what happens. So we start to see some results spiritually. We're going to church. We're sowing seeds, and we start to see a crop. And the devil says, okay, that's fine. I see your growth, and I match it. And he says, no, you keep going to church. But listen, don't pull away from those friends. Keep those wrong influences close by. You keep putting the truth in your heart every morning, but keep listening to that type of music or whatever your vice is. No, you can go ahead and listen to a sermon about forgiveness, but don't you dare have a conversation about reconciliation. No way. And so he'll distract you. And he'll try to, if he can't play the game of totally deceiving you, then he'll just try to divert your attention from the truth. This is what happens. And so the reality is we're seeing a crop, but then it's wilting over because there's another crop growing next to it. And Jesus says that it's distracting, it's choking the life. And this crop can only grow so long as something is rooted out by the power of God's word, by grace. It's rooted out. Here's the problem why we don't like removing distractions. It's painful. You know what I'm saying? No one likes to be pruned. No one likes the gardener of God's word and his truth and grace. No one likes it when someone tells them that they're being a little greedy. No one likes that. No one likes it when they're confronted with a pattern of relational dishonesty. No one likes that. I don't like it. So it's painful, these things being removed. But I'm telling you, if this pruning doesn't happen, it will completely drain us of our energy, completely drain us of our ability to grow a crop, to grow the results that obedience gives. We cannot grow the fruit that God wants us to grow if we're not willing to remove some distractions from our lives. These thorns, the word thorn is a kathana, and it literally is the same word for the crown of thorns placed on Jesus' head. There's thorns grow all over this area, very similar topography as Israel. But there's a couple thorns that they thought were used for the crown of thorns. There was the ghost thorns, these are the bone thorns. There were lots of different thorny plants. Most believe that it was some type of bramble bush, very, very accessible, very hard thorns that were used for the crown of thorns. There's no mistake that the crown of thorns were driven into the literal mind of our Savior, because the distracting thoughts that are placed into our minds are there, and He was physically taking on the pain of having those thorns placed into His head, literally and physically, to pay, to defeat the one who will spiritually this week plant a thorn of distraction inside your mind. And may we understand that power has been completely done away with, and that God has conquered that through Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. So next week, we're starting a brand new series called Cross My Heart. And I'm going to talk about how the cross defines every pattern of thinking in the heart and how we can align our hearts with the cross, and it will bring forth the fruit, bring forth the results. Some of us have tried a long time at certain things to break a habit, to develop our families, and yet we look back and we say, man, there's not a whole lot to show for it. And the cross says He can do through you what you can't do on your own. And so will we grow weeds that will rob us from the fruit that cannot produce fruit? Or will we grow the fruit of obedience? Will we grow the fruit that comes from a life spent not being deceived, but choosing truth? So finally, today, let's ask the question, will I have an excusing heart? And this is the bottom line. He kind of brings it to a close when he's talking about an obedient heart. He said, do you want an excusing heart or do you want a repenting heart? That's the bottom line. Excuses or repentance? Pride or humility? Deception or honesty? What do you want? Do you want the fruit of that? Or do you, that disobedient, deceitful heart? Or do you want the fruit of being honest? You know, when David became honest about his sin, Psalm chapter 51, verse number really 1 through 4, He finally just said, I'm the one that I've been holding on to this. I'm the one. And then he came to God and he says, I can't fix this on my own. I'm done making excuses. He says, you have to wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. You have to be the one to cleanse me from my sin. You have to break up the fallow ground in my heart for the lack of knowledge of my transgression and blot out my sin. He's saying, my sin ever before thee, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He said, listen, I know what the problem is. I haven't been willing to surrender. I haven't been willing to repent. And so he humbles himself. So we have to ask ourselves, are we just remorseful because we got caught? Are we just having an emotional response of sorrow from our sin? Or are we truly having repentance, which is not just emotional sorrow? Repentance is a desire to be rescued from sin. A desire to completely do anything you can to come back to the one who can cleanse you from your sin. And God determines how this happens. And he tells us in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 8, he tells us how this happens. He says that some other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. And if you want to increase in your life, you must allow God to plant the truth. And it brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. That's 10,000%. That's planting one strawberry plant and getting 100 strawberries. It's planting one tomato plant and getting 100-fold from your investment. And so he said, I can bring in you and I can do in you what you can't do in and of yourself, but you can't hold on. You can't make excuses. You have to be honest. And you have to allow me to break you, to bring you to a point where you're willing to give up any distractions, you're willing to set aside anything that you've been holding on to, and you're willing to produce the fruit that everyone wants. Everyone wants to look back and have a healthy marriage. Everyone wants to look back and have, you know, boys and girls and a family that honors God and that's respectful and all of that. I mean, we all want the fruits. We all are here for the same reason. We want the fruit. But why aren't we willing to plant the seeds? Why aren't we willing to sit there and wait for the harvest? Now, verse number 15, and then we're finished. Verse number 15 of Luke chapter 8 says this. Talks about the good ground, and he says, what is this good ground? It's the ground in which an honest and good heart, so he's talking about an honest and good heart, and he said, they heard the word, and they kept it. Kadeko. They kept it. They retained it. They held on to it. They held on to it, and it brought forth fruit. How? What? With what? That's the kicker right there, with patience. Here's what I want to happen. I want to plant the seeds. A few minutes later, I want to eat the cilantro. Admit it. We want to listen to the message. We want to say some words. We want to feel better about ourselves, and we want to go to lunch. We want to eat the fruit. But here's what we miss. We miss the hupothume. We miss the patience. It's a very specific word in the Greek. Very specific word used all throughout the New Testament. And this word patience literally means steady. Now, Joe should be thankful because I was going to have him come up here and I was going to talk about how he's single. And I'm not going to do that because I'm out of time. I was going to have some fun with it, but listen, he's not going steady. We need to help him with that. But when you're going steady with someone, what has happened is you have committed you're in somewhat of a committed relationship. Okay, unless this has changed within the last year. You're in some sort of committed relationship to the point where you've kind of gone from liking that person to you're not locked down into engagement, right? But you're definitely in a committed relationship with them. You're steady. And this word means, it means lasting, steady. And this is how I want to end this series. My passion and desire for you is to be steady as a Christian, to have a steady, committed relationship with Jesus Christ. But fam, it won't happen if we're just planting seeds and never waiting for the fruit. If we're never cultivating the soil, if we're never watering it, if we're never just saying, okay, God, I have enough faith to plant this seed, and I don't know where it's going to sprout up or when it's going to sprout up. I don't know what's happening, but I'm done planting my own seeds because it's bringing forth a harvest that I don't really like, and I'm just going to plant these seeds and let you bring the harvest. I think we have a quote that I want to end with, and then I'll give you the takeaway, and we'll be finished. And that is, the condition of our heart determines the expansion of the harvest. The condition of our heart determines the expansion of the harvest. You don't get the expansion of the harvest by just automatically sitting in a church and it happening. The expansion of the harvest isn't the sower. The expansion of the harvest isn't the quality of the seeds. It's not the quality of the quantity of the seeds. It's not how many seeds you're putting in the soil. It's not how many Bible studies. Friend, it's the condition of the heart. Is your heart soft? Is it ready? Is it surrendered? Is it ready to do anything that God asks you to do? And this is why many seeds don't make it from the mind to the heart. And I'm speaking to myself. Please know I'm speaking from my weakness, not my strength here. But here's the takeaway from today. A lot easier said than done. We must move the truth from the head to the heart by not waiting to start. When you leave here, there is a choice that all of us will make, and it's a choice by default. Will we use the truth or will we excuse the truth? Will we put the truth to work or will we wait?
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.